Rosie go ahead and talk about the lawsuit and where we go from here and what we should expect.
Recently, in the last few weeks, we, representing my organization, Disability Rights Advocates, and Indiana Disability Rights, representing ACBI and a number of individual plaintiffs, including Rita, we were able to reach a settlement agreement with the government, the state government of Indiana, to ensure that there be an accessible electronic means for voting absentee for voters with print disabilities for elections going forward. So what that means is that the state has contracted with a company called Democracy Live, which I believe many of you are already aware of, has provided accessible electronic voting in other states as well, including North Carolina, after a lawsuit brought by the ACB affiliate in that state as well, in which I was involved. The implementation timeline for the new Democracy Live mechanism for voting is still getting a little worked out, but it is meant to be ready ahead of the May 2023 primaries. So that should be the next election, and it in the state of Indiana, and it should all be squared away by then. We're hoping to, or we're not hoping to. We will be arranging with you all, hopefully with your involvement, several kind of demonstration sessions, and also testing sessions to be able to test the accessibility to make sure that it's, I mean, we know that the Democracy Live tool is usable and accessible from experiences in other states, but we want to make sure that voters in Indiana are aware of the tool, and also that it's useful for them. So, AKA you all. So, in the next couple of weeks, likely, we will be trying to arrange some, demo sessions and testing sessions of the new accessible electronic mechanism. A separate piece of this is that in the settlement agreement, the state also, the Indiana Election Division, and Secretary of State agreed to, seek a legislative solution to no longer require for folks who don't want to vote electronically absentee, to no longer require that they need to use a traveling board in order to mark a paper ballot. So what that means is that there will eventually be a legislative solution to make the traveling board optional rather than mandatory for anyone who wants to continue to vote using a paper ballot, but who wants to use an assistant of their choice to mark that paper ballot. So I think that's kind of the basic summary of recent updates. This is a pretty big victory. I'm super grateful to Rita and Deanne personally for all their work in this case, and all the rest of you all, the entire ACBI membership. But I'm happy to answer any questions that folks might have right now, or let you all carry on with the rest of your meeting.
Hi, Rosalie. This is Dee. I am on now.
Wonderful. Welcome.
Yay.
There's two things that have come up. One is we do see that the state does, the Secretary of State and the Indiana Election Division does have some legislation on the table concerning the accessible voting for 2028, as far as for that, they're working on making all systems go back to paper, but only ones that will be doing it electronically after 2028 will be those of us who are blind, well, actually are disabled. They're extending it to disabled, not to print disabled. Do you know if that's going to cause us any issues?
I don't believe that it should, because they have made this commitment in the settlement agreement to ensure, the solution described in the settlement agreement going forward. That said, this is something that we can, I'll discuss with my Indiana disability rights colleagues who are more kind of closely following state legislation to figure out if they can understand, if they know about any kind of tension there. But, I mean, the state has made a court enforceable commitment in the settlement agreement that they have here. So if they're then on the other, if the Secretary of State is on the other side of things, kind of actively engaging in legislative advocacy that's undermining the commitment that they just made in this court enforceable agreement, then that's something we can take them back to court for. So there we go.
Well, I did want to make you aware of that because I know that I have noted that. I haven't seen any movement other than it's in the committee. There hasn't been any other bill action on it. And then in the other house, they also have some legislation, but basically they're setting parameters on who can do absentee voting, and that it will go into effect in 2028.
I may move to another state.
And I guess other question is, you know, based on our emails, can you explain to us the difference between demonstrating and testing?
Oh, yeah.
Sure. So I can, I believe what would happen would be the same kind of testing procedure that happened in the case in North Carolina that I was involved with, in which, there was, I can't guarantee this. We're still working out with the state logistics, but if it plays out the same way that it did in North Carolina, which I would imagine that it did since that was also with Democracy Live, then they created a sort of, template, portal. People had, test logins that they could on their own devices, go into the system, mark and download in the system a sample ballot with, I don't know, voting between like Santa Claus and the Easter Bunny, that kind of thing. But just figuring out actually being able to navigate individually on their own devices on a kind of sample, portal and ballot, electronic ballot. So that's what we're thinking about in terms of testing. As far as I'm aware, but again, this is still being worked out. So it's possible that it could turn out a little bit differently. A demonstration on the other hand would be a representative from Democracy Live, on a Zoom call or otherwise kind of talking through each step that they would be going through, in the portal. So it's possible. I think it's likely that there could be a demonstration done before folks then have this kind of test access to the test portals, the test systems. I guess, does that answer your question, Deanne?
That answers my question. And I know that, you know, every election cycle, our county clerks test their machines before they put them into their precincts. So somewhere between February 15th and March 15th, each county clerk and usually the chairs of the party, the Democrat and the chair of the Republican Party, and anyone else from the public and the press go to wherever the equipment is stored and test the equipment to make sure it works and that before they start loading the ballots and that. And so that's what I consider testing is kind of what I see happening at the county building and that. And I don't know how, you know, and I know we've tasked that to our state for us to have the opportunity for it to be tested by, I'm going to say subject experts, and that prior to the primary and that. And I don't know whether that's going to be, the demonstration that I've talked previously to Charlie about doing statewide was basically so that everybody knew that the equipment was out there and that could be voted on. I don't know. Is that what the state's going to do, is do a statewide testing, or are they going to, is it going to be limited to just a select few?
To be frank, is all being actively worked out as we speak. And so that's why, I can't give you a firm answer on this, but so kind of walking back a little bit, to your point about each county testing the different voting machines. So as far as I'm aware I do know that is distinct from what I'm talking about in terms of testing in terms of the settlement, compliance, because really when we're talking about testing, we're talking about, accessibility testing, and usability by Indiana voters such as yourselves. So I don't doubt that the state is doing their own testing in the background in terms of, to ensure that ballots submitted via the electronic system and over email will be counted. But what we're talking, when I'm talking about testing here, what I'm talking about is individuals like yourselves actually figuring out how to use the system and ensuring that it's accessible to individual voters.
I have a question.
Oh, sure. Go ahead.
Yeah, I live in Marion County, and I do early voting, and it's crazy, or can be. My two questions are this. Comment, please, on how we apply to vote absentee, because I've done that in the past with another member of my family. It was not easy. And secondly, I'll just give you an example. I'm really big on early voting, and I've been to the places where you early vote. So suppose early voting started on Friday, and I get in there on Sunday, and they never have the stuff set up for disabled. You always hear, can you stand over here, and we'll get back to you in 40 minutes. Now, they're very apologetic and very nice, but will this be available on the third day of early voting, for example?
Okay, can everyone who is not speaking, please mute, because we're getting a lot of feedback. Thank you. Sorry.
All good. This is Rosie again. So to answer the first question, and I think there still is some feedback, or I'm getting some feedback. I'm not sure.
Yeah, and I'm not sure whether it's a phone or what, but yes, if you can mute yourselves and you're on the phone, that would be awesome too.
This is Rosie again, but to the question about how you would request this new accessible electronic absentee ballot, there will be a specific request form in the previous. So to give some background, the last couple of elections, we were able within the context of this case to get court orders requiring temporary fixes to allow for not quite this solution, but PDF-based email voting for voters with print disabilities. And at that time, the state created a form that in the last election, I'm sure I don't need to remind Deanne and Rita about this, and I'm sure others of you as well, had a lot of accessibility issues. But what part of the settlement provides for is ensuring that kind of request process, that specific form, is itself accessible as well. So there will be a specific request form. Last election, it was titled the ABS VPD, which is absentee voter with print disabilities form. I believe it should be.
It should be the same, and it should be up there as of February 4th.
Right. If you encounter any kind of accessibility issues with that form, then obviously, or if you encounter any kind of barriers in this entire process, then that's really important for us to know, because that would imply that they're not complying with the agreements made in the settlement agreement. But we at this point believe that it should be accessible. The second question that you had about, accessible voting machines at early voting sites. That, to be honest, falls outside of my expertise, since this case is really about absentee voting, and so I'm not I'm less familiar with the Indiana's in-person voting procedures. But just as a general matter, they should be. I mean, every under HAVA, the Help America Vote Act, every voting site is required to have accessible machines. And so if they're not set up, HAVA is among many other things is meant to ensure equal access to voting for voters with disabilities and others. But if you're left waiting for extended periods of time, if they don't have accessible machines, if the machines are broken, then that's something that I would really recommend that you report to Indiana Disability Rights about. They do track broader voting access issues in the state beyond this case. And so as a general matter, they shouldn't be making you wait a long time. Coming from the perspective of a disability advocate who works on kind of a nationwide level, but for more specific Indiana questions about that, those nuances.
Well, I was using that as an example, meaning suppose early voting starts on Friday. Should we expect access to this on Sunday or Monday, Or will,
can I, or will it be
uniform across the state?
Okay, I think I understand the question. So
this would be absentee voting.
This portal would be allowed, or the electronic absentee voting will be available during the same period that, standard print absentee ballots are available. I don't have the date in front of me off the top of my head, but I believe it's something like, what is it, 40 days before the election?
45 days. Actually, registering to get your absentee ballot started on February 4th. If you've never used an absentee ballot, you can go up there now and you can register to get your, and get the application in. And it usually is a two-part process. You fill out the application and then they send you the ballot. So, the earlier you get it in, the more likely you are to get it. Usually is best if you can get it in 14 days before election day. Because then you're assured that it's going to be in the count. Y'all there?
Yep. This is Rosie again.
It's just so quiet. I wasn't sure. The other thing I would say is remind everybody, and I will put this out on, the Indiana List since I'm now, engaged on that, subscribe to that. There is a, hotline that if you are having troubles with voting in any way, shape or form, you should, report it, because the only way you're going to make a change is if you report it, and then they can investigate it and make changes on. So,
Dee, can you remind everybody what the website address is to go to in order to register for the electronic absentee ballot?
Well, actually, there's a couple different ways you can go. You can either go to your voter registration office, and you can find that in your directory for your county. Or you can go up to Indiana General Assembly, the IGA website, or in.in.gov website, and then go to the Secretary of State's office. And under that, they have the voter portal. I will again put that up on the website, in the next day or so, or on the listserv, so you have access to that.
Okay. And last primary, Rosie and some of the people she works with, we did a Zoom call, and it was set up so they could see everything that I was doing on my computer. And we were working with a techie person to see if the website, in order to sign up for an absentee ballot, was accessible. Remember, Rosie? Remember doing that?
I do, yeah. So that is, yeah. And at that time it was there were a few nits here and there, but the request process through the voter portal, which I apologize, I neglected to mention earlier when asked how to request, but thank you, Dan and Rita for bringing that up. Rita, if I remember correctly, and the request process through the Indiana voter portal was pretty mostly accessible and navigable. There was just at that time an issue with, I think the main issue there was that it didn't give you like a confirmation page once you'd submitted it. So it didn't, clarify that you had submitted, but otherwise, it was mostly accessible. And we did raise that issue with the state, and, I am really hoping that they've fixed it, but if they haven't, then it would be great, for you all to report back.
Yeah, because, you know, last year we were told there was a temporary fix so that we, being the print disabled, could vote on an electronic ballot, and it didn't happen. So, you know, I had to contact my county clerk and get a paper ballot, and thank goodness we had the temporary injunction where we could have our own designated person help us mark our ballot, because I would have been in a bind otherwise. So,
but. Right. And this does. Oh, sorry. Did I cut you off?
Mm-hmm. No, go ahead.
Okay. I was just going to say you remind me of a really important point, which is that it's pretty imperative that each of you, if you're interested in using this, new electronic voting mechanism that you basically as soon as possible reach out to your submit the request via either the PDF or the voter portal. But also I would urge you all to reach out directly to your county elections agencies to make sure that they are aware of this new voting mechanism. The state has in the settlement agreement committed to communicating this new mechanism, but it's because there are 92 counties in Indiana, and many of them operate in different ways, and so it's important for voters within each county to indicate that they want this tool and that they need it.
And Rosie, just for a quick check at the indiana.gov/SOS website, it shows the voter registration form, but it does not show anything as far as the absentee for blind.
Sure. Yeah. When I'm on the indianavoters.in.gov voter portal.
The voter portal. Okay.
Exactly.
But not at the Secretary of State's website.
Right. I think that's, let's see. On the Secretary of State's elections form website, I do see it there.
Okay.
It's not super prevalent, but if you tab down a little bit, then it is there. Is that the page that you're talking about?
I think I'm on a different page than you.
Oh, okay. Okay.
But it's not, it's showing the voter registration form, but it's not showing the one that, adds the blind, but that would be on the voter portal.
It would be. Yeah. A quick search of Indiana voters with print disabilities, I think, should turn up the form on any of these pages. But it's a surefire method to just go to the voter portal.
I have a question. How do they know you're print disabled? I mean, to vote on the computer. I usually go in with my husband to the voting polls and I use the machine with speech, but our clerk has not really trained the people on how to go online to vote. How, you know, what kind of proof do I have to show to let them know that I'm print impaired? And also, what about, like, my husband who has Parkinson's and can't drive that day? Can he vote electronically?
Parkinson's is a manual dexterity, becomes a manual dexterity issue. So I would say that he would qualify also for the print disability. So if you both wanted to sign up and get it electronically.
What proof do we have to give them to, you know, send us one of the applications to vote electronically?
This is Rosie, and I would just agree with Deanne that Parkinson's would qualify as a print disability that would allow your husband to also use this method. And to the question about proof, they only require you to vote let me take a step back. In the request form, there is a section that is called the voter affidavit, where you sign under penalty of perjury, basically, that you are a voter with a print disability. So they don't require any kind of evidence or proof of that, but there can be consequences if someone were to fraudulently say that they are a voter with a print disability. So
they can challenge you, but it is not considered it's an absentee vote. It's not considered a proxy vote or what you would do if you went into you didn't have your ID and you went into the polling place. It's not that type of vote. It's an absentee vote.
Right. But then specifically to the question of proof, there is no required proof. It's just if, as Deanne mentions, if they challenge down the line, that's a great question if they would require some kind of proof down the line in a challenge, but as long as you are not fraudulently marking the voter affidavit, then you shouldn't have to worry about that.
Okay, I was just wondering because, you know, when we go into the polls, I mean, we're always having to show ID, you know, picture ID and sign a little screen and everything, and I didn't know what you would have to do to go online to vote.
Well, plus I was thinking too, Dolly, Mike wouldn't be able to mark the paper ballot because you have to color in these little circles.
Right.
Mm-hmm. That would be very, very difficult for him.
Yeah, it would be.
Mm-hmm.
At times it wouldn't be, you know, but mostly it would. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
But he can hit a peck and, you know, peck around the keys, okay, and
yeah,
you know,
he can hide. Yeah. Right. Mm-hmm.
I have a question. What if I'm just bringing up something? Because in 2020, I stood in line for 3.5 hours. They took the disabled people and forced us out of line and made us wait for another hour and a quarter. What if someone is legally blind or, you know, has got vision issues and just cannot stand in line like that? Is that a qualifier for this?
Well, if they're legally blind, that would definitely be a qualifier. This is, this is meant to be for voters with print disabilities specifically. So that would be folks who are blind, who have other vision disabilities, and as Deanne already mentioned, anyone with any kind of physical disability that impairs manual dexterity. So that would not it wouldn't likely cover someone who due to a disability can't stand in line. I might need to think about that a little bit more, but again, I don't want to sound like a broken record, but should that kind of thing happen, I would strongly encourage folks to report to Indiana Disability Rights.
Yeah. If you're going to a polling place and they do not, and you have a physical disability and you do not have a wheelchair, you're using a mobility device, or, you know, a walking cane, and you ask for a seat and they deny you a seat, then you have a right to complain. Polling places are supposed to include an area that people can sit down. Now, if you're outside of the polling place in the,
parking lot,
in the chute or outside the chute, then no, they may not have seating for you. But if you are in the polling place, they are supposed to have some provided. But if you're 50 feet outside of the voting the room where the voting machines are, you are not in the precinct.
Well, okay. This won't happen this way, but there were 1,150 of us in the parking lot, snaked around, you know, waiting from 8 o'clock to 11:15. Then we got another hour, 3 abreast. A crowded hallway.
And I guess what I would do is if you knew that was going to be an issue, one, I would take a camp stool with you or you might talk to some volunteer organization and see if they might be outside and providing seating. Mm-hmm. I know our political parties such as Republican and Democrat, sometimes they're out there doing their thing, publicizing. They are restricted to be inside the chute. They're restricted to be such and such a distance away from your polling place. But yet they could even be offering seats to people waiting in line.
Did you say that Indiana was going back to paper ballot by 2028?
Yes. They've got legislation in there right now to move it back to paper ballots in 2028.
So if they do, then how does that affect people with disabilities? I mean,
the
I'm
disability
sorry.
Population will be able or to print. Do it on its electronic voting system, such as we have gotten through our legislation. And as far as we know, there will not be any impact on us. But it's something that we need to, by mentioning it tonight, Rosalie knows about it. And it's something that can be discussed with the attorneys that we work with here within the state.
Is it something that maybe if we're advocating with our representatives and senators, is this national? No, this is state.
If we're
advocating with them, should we mention that maybe something could be, you know, ask them to, you know, I don't know, advocate for ourselves?
It never hurts to it never hurts to remind them that, you know, the reason that the parameters are set for people with print disabilities and people with all disabilities in this legislation, okay, have the electronic ballot. For you as a print person who is blind or has a print disability, this is the only way you can do it privately and independently. And so you want that to be there for you and that. And so there's no reason you shouldn't be saying that to them, because until it becomes a bill, until a bill becomes a law at the end of the session, mm-hmm. you know, it's not written in law yet.
Okay. I know Mary had a question, and I think Rich also has a question.
Okay. Mary and Rich, which I got one of you go.
Okay. This is Rich. I was going to let Mary go first, but I'll make mine real quick. Getting back to the absentee, just a couple points. By the way, I think this is a huge victory. I'm excited about it. I just think it's fantastic that we did this. I know there was a lot of hard work behind the scenes and, you know, long time coming and whatever. Real quick, getting back to Dolly's question, just so we make it absolutely clear, one of the things she was trying to ask was, are they going to send me a paper application? And if I'm hearing you guys correctly, the answer to that is no. You just go online and sign up.
Right, right.
You and Mike,
that is
just,
correct. Yes.
You and Mike just go online, you go to that portal, that voter portal, mm-hmm. and you just, and there's a place to indicate, you know, that you're print disabled or whatever, and that you want to participate, and then you just sign up and do it. So you don't have to sit and wait for the paper application, because if you do, you're not going to get one.
Right. Now, I have not successfully done this portal thing myself. So anyone that has done it successfully, feel free to speak. But as I understand it, once you fill out that form, then they get back in touch with you. You don't have to try to make a second contact with them.
Now, one nice thing about this, and this is a little off track, so I won't talk long, but using the, you know, talking voting machine, some visually impaired people are sort of intimidated because they're afraid it's going to take too long. They're going to slow people down. There's people waiting behind them. You're at home when you're doing this absentee. So if it takes you a few minutes to figure out, you know, get oriented to the layout of it, you know, you're in the privacy of your own home and you can just go figure it out and do it. So that's good. My one other question, now that we have it, now in our ACB chapters, we kind of been talking this up and letting people know, and we're pretty good at networking, you know, among ourselves, but there's a lot of visually impaired people around the state that don't belong to ACB, NFB or whoever. Mm-hmm. So what are we doing to publicize this, to make sure that it is, you know, definitely going to be that people know?
Okay. Thanks for asking that, Rich. So we issued a press release that should be, we hope has made some waves. And, well, we know that we've had some press coverage throughout the state of Indiana. We yes. also, my partner, or my colleagues at Indiana Disability Rights are working on their own outreach and publicity campaigns. That said, we really do encourage you all to reach out to anyone and everyone you know who would want to use this system or would be interested in using the system. And we also welcome more ideas on how to get in touch with people. So if you have any thoughts, then please send them my way.
I mean, you and I and any of us can reach out as individuals to anyone we know and educate them that this is now because of the victory, because of our settlement, it is now in place for the May election, and it will be going in ongoing for future elections and that you can go on and promote that individual and that. We are kind of at a standstill with what we can do as an organization right now.
I did use the portal in 2020. I did it illegally, which has already been discussed. And the county sent like an absentee ballot and an affidavit in case somebody were to fill it out for someone, you know, they swore that they would, you know, vote correctly and that kind of thing. So, but anyway, the portal does work. I have used it.
Rosie, I have an idea. I come from a teaching background. Everyone has to take government to graduate from high school in Indiana. In 25, we could possibly get this into the curriculum.
That's an amazing idea and something that I would welcome a lot more of your thoughts on how to do that.
Well, I'd start with the Department of Education. They know who the government teachers are. I do a literacy outreach, so I contact the teachers of visually impaired, and there are listservs for each category of teacher, generally. And of course, it's not going to be immediate success, but if you do, if it's in the curriculum and then you update it in 28, everybody's got a family member, and some 17-year-old is going to say, hey, do you know you can vote this way? You know, at the dinner table. And, you know, it's a very inexpensive way, but it's a slow way. It's not going to, you know, get instant participation.
Sure thing. And I think it's an interesting idea that I'll definitely bring back to my colleagues at Indiana Disability Rights. To kind of circle back to something that you said, Deanne, I don't want you to feel like you are you can't publicize the fact that there will, as ACBI can't publicize that there will be that there is this new method of voting. What is a little tricky is exactly like when the demonstration, the kind of testing and demos are going to be. That's what we still need to work out under in conjunction with the state, but. But I would encourage you all, ACBI as an organization, to continue and individuals to continue spreading the word.
I guess where our issue is, you know, we did have it set up where we did set up some dates that we do have proposed to have demonstrations, but we just want to make sure that we have our definition of demonstration and the state's definition of demonstration as being the same, because in all actuality, like I said in my email to you, Rosalie, I would say presenter instead of demonstrator, because demonstrator means something totally different to me as an advocate. That means going out and doing, you know, trying to get them to do, strong handing people to do things, opposed to educating somebody on an issue.
That makes a lot of sense. Yeah, I understand. I get that kind of rhetorical nuance there. That I'll see if I can get the state to change their lingo on that too.
So in that, because I know we do have people. You know, Democracy Live is willing to do some education to the disability community, but we're not supposed to be talking to them either.
Absolutely. We need to make sure that, we just need to make sure that all of the communication and all the coordination is done squarely within the settlement agreement, or to make sure that it follows the requirements of the settlement agreement. Otherwise, we don't want the state to say that they've checked some boxes when they haven't actually, done what we believe they should be doing. That said, we will be arranging, I think I've already said several times, but we are actively working on, arranging the presentations and then also, the testing for ACBI membership, and individuals involved in the case.
Okay. Well, I know that it's coming up on the hour, and I know that I've got an 8 o'clock appointment myself. Is there anything that anyone else wants to say before we close? I know I had a lot more on my agenda, but, this was an issue, something we needed to talk about. I do want to remind people that registration is open for the DC Leadership, conference. Part of it is virtual, part of it is in person. If you're going to do the virtual, it's only $25. If you're going to go in person, it's $175. Plus hotel room, airfare, and food and other expenses. The legislative imperatives being for this conference are basically the same ones we did last year, the four imperatives we did last year, as well as there is an initiative to talk about the Coswell Macy Act, which is the Education Act. And to emphasize the need for improvements in services and the continued use of services and devices for people who are blind and visually impaired, and that. And so anytime you can tell your story and how it affected you going to public school, or whether you didn't go to public school, but you could have gone to public school, and you can talk to your legislators about that, that's your your U.S. Congress people, that would be good. You can also talk to your state legislators about that. There are a few bills in there on special education and that this year, not specifically related to blindness, but this is a budget year, and so everybody is fighting for funding, including education and special education. The other bill and the march that's at the leadership conference is on accessible currency, and so they're still trying to get accessible currency, if that's of interest to you. I know Pat can tell you more about that because she's – Pat Tucson can tell you more about that because she's going to participate in the march. And that, and so we've been fighting for that for over 20 years. Some people say, well, why now? Because we've all moved to plastic. Well, there's still need for paper money. Even though some of us have transitioned to plastic and now find that to be more accessible. State legislation, remember the House bills and Senate bills change houses on February 28th. So if you've been watching legislation going on in one of the houses, if it passes through your house and it's still active, then it will be switch houses and the second house will review it and then they'll merge their bills that are consistent with each other. And that will become legislation if it makes it through the second house. And if anyone has questions on legislation, they're welcome to give me a phone call. They're welcome to send me an email, because there's a lot out there, a lot that doesn't specifically relate to us, the whole visually impaired and blind population, but some legislation affects us even though it's not directly related to our blindness. And that lots of times depends on your age group. If you're a senior citizen, there may be things that are going on with Medicare that affects you. If you are younger, you may be going to college or in the workforce, and there's legislation out there affecting that. So your specific needs, if you need to talk about something in legislation, I'll be glad to talk to you individually about your needs and what I see as far as that. But other than that, if no one else has anything else to say, then I'll let you go for tonight.
I was going to add concerning the legislative conference. We were asked today if we wanted to participate in a panel discussion about accessible voting, absentee voting, and I asked Deanne if she would be willing to be on that panel, and so she's agreed to do that. And so if you're listening in on the virtual segment of the conference, March the 7th at 5:00, Deanne's going to be on there as a panel participant. And I really appreciate that because she's been involved in this, absentee voting, issue since the beginning. I have not. I came in a little bit after the fact. So I just felt like she should be the one to take it on for us.
Thank you for speaking about this tonight, and congratulations on the victory. It's pretty nifty.
Congratulations to all of you.